Yesterday on the broadcast, we closed out chapter 19 of the Gospel of John, where Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea put Jesus Christ's body in the tomb. Now, of course, in other Gospels, we find that this high priest and the leaders in Israel insisted that that tomb be sealed and that the soldiers guard that tomb so that Jesus' body might not get out of that tomb some way. And Jesus' words that he would rise again the third day would not be fulfilled. So that's all in the other Gospels. And of course, we know that to be the case. They were there. They did seal the tomb. They did roll a stone before the door, and then they sealed that stone with some sort of a special seal. I assume it was just something like a clay or a wax that was put on a section or several sections of that stone, and then maybe the imprint of an official ring in some way to put a seal upon that, that if anyone broke that seal, they would be known that that seal had been broken. And it would be, of course, a crime to do so. Well, all that be as it may, we come to chapter 20 in the Gospel of John, and he doesn't give all of those details about the soldiers and the rolling of the stone in front of the tomb, but he starts with the glorious time of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the first day of the week. The first day of the week. Now that is Sunday, the first day of the week. It's interesting that the Bible makes that very clear to us, exactly what day it was that Jesus rose from the dead. Now I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but I go to church on the first day of the week. I take my tithe and my mission offering and special offerings that I desire to give unto the Lord, to the house of the Lord, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, not on Saturday. And of course, there are religions that would call me a follower of the Antichrist, or they would accuse me of being Antichrist because I worship on Sunday especially. Now, I worship all week long, and everybody else should that loves the Lord. But on the first day of the week, when I go to church, I go in commemoration, in memory of, and in thankfulness for Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. I don't go on the Jewish Sabbath, which is Saturday. I go on the Christian's day of worship, which is Sunday. Now, if you want to make something out of that, you can. But that's when I go. That's when the disciples started meeting together. After the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, they started meeting on Sunday, not on Saturday, which was the Sabbath. If I'm going to observe the Jewish Sabbath, then I'm not going to be able to walk more than 3 miles. Therefore, I couldn't go further to church. I go to a fairly close church in my town. I belong to a church fairly close to my home. By that I mean within 5 or 6 miles. If I was keeping the Sabbath day of Jews, the Jewish era, I would not be able to go to that church. Now there is two churches within less than a quarter of a mile of my house. There are two so-called churches. One of them's lot adjoins my lot. In other words, where my house is, their lot, their acreage, joins my lot, where my house is. So I would not have very far to go there if I wanted to go or chose to go to that church. And so if I was worshiping on Saturday, like some folks say you're supposed to, and call you an antichrist if you don't, I would have to go to a church that I have absolutely no confidence at all that they have the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. Or if I didn't go to that one, I'd have to go several hundred feet further to another one that I know full well I know full well is wrong completely on salvation and many other doctrines, and I could not possibly be a part of either of those congregations. Now, no criticism to them except for the fact that I wish they knew better, and I'm sure they're sincere, but I could not worship there. So I'm sure glad that I can go on Sunday and not be limited to a 3-mile journey on Saturday, so I can go where I know the gospel is going to be preached. And I know that the money that I put in the pan that I give of my tithes and my love offerings and my mission offerings, I can give it there and know that it's going to be used to spread the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be used in truth and righteousness and done correctly like it ought to be, and that it is not associated with some liberalistic, new evangelical group of churches or denominations that deny the real truth of the Word of God. So I'm thankful then that we can worship on Sunday. Well, I didn't get very far here in verse 1 of chapter 20, but the first day of the week, that's the resurrection day. That's the day that Jesus raised from the dead. Now, Jesus raised from the dead on the third day. Now, I'm not going to take time to try to show you that Jesus was not crucified on Friday. That argument has been hashed and rehashed, and I just don't have the time to get into that argument. It's not that really important. The important thing is that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and that the scripture was fulfilled exactly like God said it would be fulfilled, that Jesus was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of this earth, like Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish or the whale. So I believe that, I accept that, and you can figure it out all the way you want to and argue about it all you please. It's not important that I argue about it. What is important is that Mary Magdalene, coming very early on that first day of the week, now that was very early in the morning, I'm sure, when it was yet dark. In other words, it was before daybreak. It was still dark. So it was very early on Sunday, just before daybreak, she came unto the sepulchre, to the grave where Jesus was laid, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now she saw that the stone was moved when she got there. Well, I think it might be interesting to note that she surely must have gone there before that time. I believe she must have gone there before that time, for she knew exactly where to go, and she recognized that the stone was removed from that place. Well, we'll continue with these thoughts on the program tomorrow. In the meantime, put your mind on a resurrected Christ, not a dead Christ. He's not hanging on that cross anymore. So if you've got a cross around your neck with the figure on it of Jesus Christ, then do one of two things. Take it off and put it aside or throw it away, or take the figure off of it. That would be a joy, wouldn't it? Just take that figure off of it. Just cut it off. Take it off and say, yes, he's not here anymore. He's risen. He's alive. He's not on the cross. He's not dead. We're not looking at him on the cross anymore. It's all right to wear a cross around your neck that's empty, but I certainly wouldn't want to wear one around my neck that had a figure on it, because my precious Savior that died is alive. He is not dead. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father.